Hallelujah. Boy, thank you, Jesus. It ain't good to be coming to you in the Word of God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's take your Bibles. Amen. And as we get them in front of us tonight. Amen. Knowing that here we talk to you tonight about the elect lady in Wednesday in the Word. Living in discernment, the second epistle of John, because here this is a literal lady, a mother that is a single mother raising her children. And I thank God as we look tonight and begin to realize out of the things that we've already saw tonight, we saw Jude, we saw Obadiah. We're currently in 2 John. We're going to try our best after this to go into 3 John and Philemon and deal with all of these one chapter, five books of the Bible, amen, that are very powerful, amen. But I thank God, as you look at every one of these, there's a sense of urgency, We need to urgently look into the warnings and listen to what the writers are telling us between these, praise God. As John the Revelator is writing to us, amen. We've had Jude, we've had Obadiah, we've had Paul. And so as we look at these from 2 John tonight, amen, here was that first century church. The communication during that time was very difficult. There was no postal service. Man, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but man, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to mail something if you ain't got a postal service, right? What did they do? Man, they had to go. That letter would be several pages if they wrote something because, listen, they don't get an opportunity like this. They've got to seek out and find somebody traveling to the city that you want that letter to go to. And they take all those several pages and they entrust them to someone that's traveling the distance to go to where your family and loved ones are. And that was the only kind of postal system that they had during those times in the first century church. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that Hallmark show that comes on about signed, sealed, delivered. Hey, praise God. I think they got another show of that coming up here soon where that one couple's going to get married. I've been watching for it. I don't know about you, but if you ain't watching Hallmark or a couple things, ain't much to watch on TV. Hey, man, you got to struggle and you got to work a little harder to find shows that's decent enough to find on TV anymore. Hey, I better go ahead and get back on my subject. Sorry. Hey, man. But here it's believed that this letter was wrote right in around at the church of Ephesus. And so I thank God as we look at November the 24th, 2021, the 20th of Kislev, 5782, the Hebrew calendar, the elect lady of 2 John. It covers 2 John. It's only one chapter, verses 1 through 13. And as these five books that are single chapters that are in the Bible that we talked about earlier, I thank God we begin to look at this tonight that it talks about the elder. And they remain anonymous. They say the elder. Well, that's none other than John the Revelator himself. And so I thank God in his day, everyone knew who he was. John, the disciple of the Lord Jesus. He's very old man by this time, and he's the last surviving apostle. And the word John used to refer to himself as a common New Testament word. I thank God as a shepherd of a local church, praise God. But I thank God as John, as he begins to give us the urgency. The urgency that we need to pay attention to these little chapter one chapter books, amen, to the flock. He was the oldest, wisest shepherd of them all and the last living man who had known the Lord Jesus in the flesh. And his fellowship of like-minded believers was made up of his little children. Hallelujah. Now, as I get ready to go into our study tonight, as they believe that this letter was around in Ephesus in the modern day country of Turkey. The elect lady of 2 John tonight, as we look and realize how that she was holy, how that she was beloved, and she was dealing with false teaching during that time as they would hold prayer meetings during those days. And in those, John is going to instruct us tonight through the urgency of living in discernment, hallelujah, that don't let any of these folks even go, when they come to the door, don't even let them in. Don't even shake their hand. You think I'm making it up? Wait till we get to the Word of God in just a minute, hallelujah. And so I thank God as we begin to look and realize of these ladies tonight and how that it begins to talk to us and tell us some things tonight, amen. Maybe around the time of AD 90 of the letters of John, that's the time frame that specifically of this time of 2nd, 1st, and 3rd John, that time that these were wrote. And so as we look and realize of the elect lady of 2 John tonight, before I get in my study, I was reading about a Zimbabwe pastor that was selling some holy pens that make students pass their exams. Now, don't take this wrong. This is a literal story that came out back in 2015. It was updated October 26, 2015, if you'll notice on there. But this was a literal somebody. Now, this is a good example and an illustration of what the urgency is about when you deal with people out there in the world that do things like this. This is a very good example right here, because this Zimbabwe pastor, he sells holy pens that make students pass their exams. Oh, do they? Well, man, you know, that's almost like if I was to, pray over a handkerchief and sell that thing and try to make profit off of something of the Lord, amen. Well, man, ain't nothing more false about stuff like that, you know? And so this was an actual article. This is a picture that was in the article of a Zimbabwe pastor. Now, I'm not picking on Zimbabwes or pastors or whatever, but this is an illustration. Most of the time, it is somebody putting themselves out there as a pastor or somebody that's over somebody that are doing these things. And, you know, as the Huffington Post reported this, of this Zimbabwe pastor, how that he said that basically they could pass their exams, and the more that you pay for one, the better grades you get. Boy, don't that sound like a ripoff? And so of all the things that we look at today, according to the news that he was selling this out of a church that was the House of Grace in an international church, and of those pens, they would go from $1 up to $20. And the prophet told his congregations those that were sitting in exams only needed faith in one of these special pens to pass that exam. He says those pens are anointed, and I declare passes. When your children sit for exams, they're going to, they said to work for everyone that's sitting for any test, he said. And so one parishioner testified, said, my son's not very bright, and I think he will help. It'll help him pass his exams with the knowledge that he's acquired in this pen from the man of God. I think it's going to work. You see, I ain't saying nothing about having faith and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, when you do something, especially no matter what pastors do to try to make a profit off of something, you see, God give you that ability to do what you do. It ain't for sale. And so here's the urgency. And so here, there are perhaps no other time when we're more vulnerable to deception than when we are told something that really, that we really want to believe. And it doesn't matter how outrageous the claim or how obvious it is that the messenger is motivated by greed. Or if it's what we want to be true, we swallow the hook, line, and sinker. The time come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around with a great number of teachers to say with their itching ears that they want to hear. And that's out of 2 Timothy 4:3. You know what? The Bible says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, in 1 John 4:1. And so here we look at the second book of John, and here it's telling us this short letter introduces to no new teachings, but it is concerned rather with the anti-Christian teaching, which was taking root and needed to be combated during the time of the first century. John was concerned because here, as an esteemed Christian sister known to him was unwilling, given some heretical teachers that was misguided in their teaching. And this letter was written from Ephesus, possibly, but we have no exact information as when it was written or where John was when he wrote it. But it can be divided up into the parts that I'm going to put into tonight, amen. And so I thank God I put an outline on Facebook for you there tonight. And so one of the first things that we see as we gather tonight is that he commends the chosen lady, amen. He commends the chosen lady. And as we get into the Word of God tonight, I'm reminded that each and every one of us, because persecution was no mean a thing of the past, John likely had no desire to attract unwanted attention to himself. And so as he writes this letter, he refers to himself as the elder, amen. And so as we get into the Word of God tonight, and it begins to tell us, John commends this chosen lady in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, amen. He says, the elder, that'd be John, unto the elect lady, and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Now I thank God as He is telling us about this in verse 1, amen. Every one of us, as we realize that today, without doubt, one of the things that's out there more than anything else is knockoffs. One of the most popular knockoffs is people like to buy those $10 Rolexes. And, but the thing is, they don't keep good time. And so without a doubt, that's one of those things that people get, these knockoffs. But these fake Rolexes and stuff that are big sellers for one reason, somewhere other than wherever you go to get them, they're not real ones. And somewhere there'd be a market for the fake ones. So you've got to have something that's genuine, something that's real. And so there's always somebody out there that's false, that's telling something that's not quite true. And so here, Jesus warned his followers that there would be no shortage of false prophets in the world today. And so, you know what? We shouldn't be surprised that there are wolves in sheep's clothing in the church, and we certainly shouldn't allow them to cause us to question the truth of the gospel. And so here we begin to realize tonight that this is a soft and tender exhortation to a Christian mother and her children. And out of this beautiful exhortation of this letter, it's a strong challenge of urgency. This elect lady is taken by some to refer to a church and by others to refer to a particular lady in the local church. After looking at all of the arguments for both positions, it seemed far more natural to take the address as referring to an actual literal lady who loved the Lord with all of her heart. You say, why? Because of the wording in it that it refers to, because the church doesn't have children. And so here, there's a possibility that she had written John about the problem of false teaching in her area, where people would get together in her house and they had infiltrated the church. And remember, hey, there were no church buildings in that day and time, and therefore believers met in the homes of the committed members. And so here is a very good possibility that the church met in the home of this dear lady that was, I call, the elect or chosen lady of 2 John. And whatever the case, John was writing her as a dear friend and warning her against the false teaching. Now, this is the only time that you'll see any of the letters of the 66 that there's a letter that's been addressed to a woman. Now, here, as this section deals solely with a lady and her children, she is the elect, or she is the chosen lady. And so I thank God as we look and realize that it tells us tonight, she was the elect. She was the chosen by God, praise the holy name of Jesus. And so in doing so, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. See, this elder unto the elect lady, John had in mind the church, and either the local church in some area or the church that was universal. But if this is so, then her children are its members. But I thank God others take the words literally because of the Greek that it says, that is translated. And so even so, we don't know who she is, but I thank God each and every one of us as we go through life today, this elect lady, amen, would suit very well an esteemed mother or someone that's of our church, like someone that I would highly respect, like Mary Senior, praise God, of all of our ladies that are in her Sunday school class, amen, and how dedicated she's been. She would be someone in her regards of caliber that is just a wonderful, wonderful Christian lady, hallelujah. And so I thank God as we look and realize that of all the things that we look at in this tonight of the scriptures, amen, that it talks to us about. In any case, the church was almost made up of maybe a variety of different people, maybe even Gentiles of that time. And so as we look and realize of how powerful this is, this lady that is elect or chosen lady, that he commends the chosen lady that he talks about, amen. And so here, it means to be one of God's holy, beloved followers. And exactly what Paul said about believers, he said that they were elect of God, holy and beloved. And I believe that this dear mother was chosen by God to be one of his elect, one of his holy and beloved followers, praise the name of Jesus. And she was elected to be holy, amen. It means separated. She was set apart, praise God. She was elected to be one of the beloved followers of God. God had called her to turn away from the old life, amen, that had been disobedient to God. that had been ignored and neglected. I thank God that, and so here she was getting back on track. She was holy. That those many that had disbelieved God, those that had rebelled against and rejected God, that had cursed God, she had, God had chosen her to be his elect, one of his dear followers, and she was elected to be holy and beloved before him and here to follow God with all of her heart and life. And I thank God to live a holy life, a life as one of God's beloved children, praise God. And so, Harold, what a great honor that it is to know this. But as we see her life as an elect and chosen lady, but also here she was loved in the truth as well. Because I thank God she was chosen by God. But it says, for the true sakes which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, amen. Boy, I thank God as she was loved in the truth, amen. It tells us that how that we should love one another. That we're to love just as John and all of the early believers loved. How did they love? They loved in the truth. Well, hey, what does that mean that they loved in the truth? What does that actually mean? I believe that it means that we're to love one another in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said that he is the truth. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but what? But by me. And so Jesus Christ is the truth, the very ideal of humanity, the ideal and the perfect man. And all that a person should be, all that God wants a person to be, is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ embraces the idea and perfect truth. He is the very embodiment of truth. He is the very life that a man should live. And so Jesus Christ said that the word of God is truth, amen. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, amen. Now, all that a person should be is also written out for a man in the word of God. God's word spells out the perfect and ideal man or woman, just what God wants a person to be. And the word of God itself is the truth. How are we to love one another? In the truth. And we're to love one another in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the word of God. The significance of what it means to love one another is Jesus Christ loved us as the word of God instructs us, amen, is it notes that love that is entirely different from a love that is displayed out in the world. The world's love focuses upon infatuation and passion, feelings and sentimentality, personal pleasure and gratification, loving those who love us. But the love of Jesus Christ and the word of God is a different kind of love. It is a love that gives sacrificially, that helps people even if they are unlovely and unattractive. It is the love that reaches out to people even when they do not deserve it. Man, I've run into some of the most grouchiest people on the face of the planet. And the love of Christ loves everyone no matter who they are or what they've done. And so the love that we are to have is the love of Christ, the love that knows this fact. Christ loved us. He gave himself for us even when we did not deserve it. Amen. And it's a love that tells us this. We must do as he did. Amen. Love a person regardless of who he or she is. And here it's a wonderful thing, amen, that we have this. Now, you know, this lady was loved in the truth, and it tells us how that we should love one another. It tells us why we are to love one another, amen. We're to love for the truth's sakes that it told us, amen. And so, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, amen. You know, as I look at this, and I think about how the truth dwells in us and shall be with us forever. A great thing to be to the lonely and the empty, to all those who feel unloved out there tonight. They can know this. Genuine believers will love them. Because I thank God that's exactly. Genuine believers will embrace and care for them and do all that they can to ease their hurt and pain. The lonely and the empty just need to get up and go find a church of true believers. I want to send out our love and thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to our brother and sister in Christ, and that is Brother Tim and Sister Deborah Turnipseed, amen, that I was talking to Brother Turnipseed last night. Praise God how much we miss them with all the things that are going on. We're looking forward to maybe things getting back to a norm over in January if the Lord doesn't come back before then and get him back over to preach and him and Deborah to sing. Boy, I tell you, they're gifted. The Holy Spirit surrounds them, and they are a tremendous blessing. And so I want to send out a happy Thanksgiving to Brother Tim and Deborah Turnipseed. And I'm going to tell you, along with all of the families at People's Valley Baptist Church, how tremendously blessed that we are with some special people that are truly love the Lord. And so here we begin to look and realize that she was loved in the truth, a love for truth, amen. But also grace, it says in verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I thank God that we look at how that he's talking to us and he's telling us that she lived in truth and love, amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us as we go through life today, truth is something that's eternal. I'm glad that the tares may flourish for a while, seeming to have triumphed all together in parts of the harvest fields out there in the world, taking over large portions elsewhere in the field, and there's no way that we can uproot them, but the Lord was well aware of all of that. He said, an enemy hath done this. But I thank God I'm built on the rock. The church is built on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, praise God. And so I thank God, Jesus said, let the tares and the wheat grow, let them grow together, for the wheat and the tares, that is, until the harvest, amen. And so in a coming day, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, and then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father who hath ears to hear. Let him hear, the Bible says. Oh, I thank God. John confirms that the truth, he says, dwelleth, he's talking about. Boy, I thank God. Boy, each and every one of us, we look back, he says what? He says, for the truth a sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, amen. And so I thank God it is one of those things that John has a favorite word that he uses many, many times as he talks about that dwelleth in the believer, amen. The truth that dwelleth that he talked about in verse 2, amen, and begins to tell us about. But I thank God as he talks about the grace, as he talks about the mercy, as he talks about the peace be with you, hallelujah, in verse 3, amen, that she is that lived in the truth and love, amen, that it tells us about. Boy, I thank God as we look and realize that she lived in truth and love with other believers, a fact, not a prayer. And John says that the grace and mercy and peace of God and of Christ are with believers, amen. There's no question about it tonight, church, Facebook, sermon audio, that a true believer knows the grace. The true believer knows the grace, and the true believer knows the peace of God and of Christ. And I thank God as believers, each and every one of us know the fullness of God, of Christ in truth and love. And so grace means the undeserved and unmerited favor and blessings of God, and the depth and the richness of the heart and the mind of God, and the kindness and love that dwells within the very nature of God. Hallelujah. God's grace covers all life. Praise his holy name tonight. Man, let's just have us a running fit. Amen. Praise God. Run all the way down to the end of the street and back. Praise his holy name and shout all over the place. Hallelujah. Mercy means feelings of pity and compassion. And so I thank God, and affection and kindness. Amen. And so of war, I tell you, every one of us, mercy arises from the heart of love. God has mercy upon us because he loves us, and his mercy has been demonstrated in so many ways. God has withheld his judgment from us, withheld it even when we deserved it. God withholds that judgment, and he provides a way for us to be saved, praise God. That's the moment when you ought to be getting up and raising a hand and shouting glory, amen. Because God's provided a way for us to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. When Jesus Christ died, he died for our sins, and he took our sins upon himself and bore the judgment of that sin for every one of us out there in the world today. He was our Savior. God does not count sin against us because of what he did. Because if we trust Christ as our Savior, amen, all of a sudden, our blood has, that blood of Jesus has covered every bit of the iniquity and sin in our life. And it counts the righteousness of Christ for us, and we become acceptable to God through the righteousness of our Lord and Savior. He allowed Christ, his very own Son, to die for us. And he actually allowed his own Son to bear the punishment of our sins for us. He loves us so much that he will forgive our sins if we will just only trust him. So what's the point? The true believer is a person upon whom God in Christ has poured out their mercy. And it's not that believers are going to experience the mercy of God. They already received the mercy of God. And so when you're looking at the urgency that John is trying to tell this elect lady of 2 John, that's what you've got to look for when you look at the falseness out there. When you look at folks that are trying to sell a pen for $1 to $20 and tell your kids that they'll make a better grade on it. Listen, you don't even need that pen. You just need the faith that you've got and trust God. And first of all, you need to study to show yourself approved. The Bible says, well, you also need to study in your classrooms. Amen. And so I thank God, as Ephesians chapter 2 says, God who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. Peace means to be bound. It means to be joined. It means to be weaved together. And I thank God we have an assurance and confidence that we're secure in the love and the care of our Lord and Savior. It means to have a sense of a consciousness, to have a knowledge that God will provide. God will guide. He will strengthen. Praise God. He will sustain. He will deliver us. Amen. He will encourage us. Praise God. He will save us by the marvelous grace. He will give life and real life both now and forever. A person can experience the true peace only as he comes to know Jesus Christ. Amen. And I thank God, as we said, we'll say, Brother Earl Matheson, give him that peace that he's been looking for. Give him that peace that he needs. Amen. And take away the pain. Praise God. Boy, I thank God every one of us. Peace brings deliverance and assurance to all of our souls. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ can give us the greatest peace of all in this walks of life. He said to be, he is the Son of the Father. And I thank God each and every one of us as we realize that and go on, that we live for the truth. But he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of my children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Boy, I thank God every one of us. Here, this lady, she's a parent. Because he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. This mother, this elect lady, she is one that has children under her care. And I thank God here she rejoices greatly because here they're walking in the truth. Amen. Boy, don't you hope and pray that your children are walking in the truth right now? All you can do is show them the love of Jesus Christ and point them, but you can't do everything for them. You want to protect your children as much as you can, but there's some things they're going to have to learn and do for themselves. And so I thank God here, every one of us, families that have joy, that they're gladdened. The home has integrity because of what it gives us. Amen. And so here, this mother, it gives us the greatest rejoicing because every one of us today, this lady that has the truth and she has the commandment, amen. She's an elect, chosen lady. She had, children who walked in the truth that it told us, amen. And so I thank God as... in fact, John says that they were a dynamic testimony of the truth. They were walking in Christ, and they had been walking just as we have been commanded to walk, walking just as the Word of God says that we're to walk, amen. And so each and every one of us, why were the children in the city where John was? I believe they were there on business traveling. Maybe they was a traveling salesman. Maybe they was a businessman or a woman visiting relatives or friends, vacationing, sightseeing away at some schooling, amen. We're not told is what I'm trying to say. All we know is that John saw them someplace in the city, and he says, man, if them ain't some children that are walking in the truth. Wouldn't you be glad to know that somebody was bragging about your children? They said, man, that's my kids over there. Somebody done got word back to you, said, man, you got the finest kids. They walking in the truth. Man, they living for the Lord. They praising the name of Jesus. Praise God. Everything they do is holy. Everything they do is for the Lord and to lift up him in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise his name. And so we're not told why they all of the details. All we know is that John saw them someplace in the city. Apparently, he was able to observe their lives long enough to know that they walked faithfully in Christ. Amen. And so I thank God, what a dynamic witness that the mother had been to her children. She had reared them to know the Lord and to live in His Word, amen. And no matter where we are, boy, this would be a good Mother's Day message right here. No matter where they are, they're at work or at play, we are to live for Christ. And no matter where we travel, we should do as the dear mother's children did, walk in Christ and maintain a dynamic testimony for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name. Amen. And so here we begin to realize that as He tells us a little bit more on, amen, that we go in, that she had children who walked in the truth. Amen. Boy, I thank God, ain't that great? And so John challenges the chosen lady now, because in verses 5 and 6, the Word of God begins to tell us, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that thou which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Praise the name of Jesus. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us know that love is a behavior. It's a way of life. Amen. Each and every one of us. Love is not a new commandment, amen. It's something that we've been told from way back, amen. We must love one another. Love is not an option for believers. Believers must love one another, amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us, when we begin to look and realize that Christianity is all about love. So for John to insist upon love was nothing new. This is the same teaching that we've always had, amen. Love, that's the agape of Philemo. Agapio, all of this that occurs many times that deals with love, amen. And so I thank God, He challenges the chosen lady in verses 5 and 6, and He tells us that love is not a new a commandment, amen. And so what's He talking about here when He's telling us, amen? Well, I thank God as He begins to get us, but first, I thank God, you know, love is demonstrated in such a powerful way. There was a class of little girls that was learning to spell. And they spelled a number of little bitty small words such like pig, cat, dog, cow. And amused themselves by imitating the words. They would make the animal sounds, you know. And then there was this little Mary that was asked to spell love. Well, she didn't stop to give the letters. She just ran. She threw her arms around the teacher's neck, and she kissed her on the cheek. And we spell love that way at our house, she told the teacher. And so the girls laughed, but the teacher said, "Hey, that's a beautiful way. But do you know another way to spell love?" And little bitty Mary cried out, "Oh, yes, I know how another way. I spell love this way." And she began to put the books in order on her teacher's desk. I spell love by helping everybody when they need me. And you know, love is not a New Testament. It is an Old Testament, and it is the same testament that we have from the very beginning, amen. And so John immediately brings up the subject of love, and it tells us something, that the dear friend of John was having problems with some people. Some people were mistreating her, Lord, and her. And so we know that from the next passage that there were some false teachers that wanted to teach in her church or in her house or where they were meeting, or else they wanted to use her house for some type of purpose, amen, to visit her, to talk to her about their beliefs, to room and board in her house, to use her house for a church or a study group or for a church social function, amen. But she had refused to grant the request, and as a result, she was being criticized. Whatever the case was, she had actually refused to open her home to some of these false teachers, or else John was instructing her not to welcome them. She was being criticized. She was being hurt, abused, talked about. And John's letter of exhortation, of urgency to her to love them, that we must love one another no matter what they say about you, no matter how they mistreat you, no matter how they hurt you, love them. Now, that ain't easy to do, is it? I tell you. And so love is the very first commandment that man ever received from God. And it is the very first commandment that was ever received from Christ. God had said from the very beginning that we're to love our neighbor, didn't He? And so Jesus proclaimed that love would be the distinctive mark of His followers, the very mark that would show the world that a person was a true follower of His. So she was not being told to love her friend, but not love her enemy, to love the good, but not the bad. She was not being told to love the righteous, but not the sinner. She was not being told to love the acceptable, but not the unacceptable. She was told to love everybody, to love the friendly, but not the abusive. Now, the totally new concept of love, man has always felt that he was to love his friends. He's always felt free to take others, and especially those who have mistreated him. Amen. How can we possibly love those who mistreat us? There's only one way. We must love as God loves. That's the only way. We must possess the love of God within our hearts and lives. Amen. And so, you know, of all the things, love was demanded right here. Amen. Love is not a new commandment, but I thank God it was demanded. But I thank God it goes on as it tells us about love. And it tells us, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Boy, I thank God. You know, love is being defined right here. You know, as He's talking to us, as He's telling us this, amen. And so as we look and realize of the many things that we're being challenged, amen, for us. Because what? Here, John challenges the elect lady, the chosen lady, amen. And so love is what we said earlier. It's a behavior. It's a way of life. It's a walk. And so as we look at love as a behavior, what is His commandment? He says, this is the commandment, that great commandment that you have heard from the very beginning, that you should walk in love. And so I thank God, many of us, you know, the question comes up in this here is, how does a believer walk in love? Take your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you ain't got that, then we're going to turn over. Love is a behavior. It's a way of life. But I thank God, how does a believer walk in love? Love is a learned behavior to show. Love is to know it's deep in your soul. But look with me right here. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. This is how a believer walks in love. These are 15 steps to the love chapter. Amen. I know that because when I do a wedding, I always like to use 1 Corinthians 13. I call it the love chapter. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, there's 15 steps that come out of verses 4 through 7 that begins to deal with it, because it talks to us and it tells us about some of the things, of very behaviors that are characterized in the believer, the very way the believer is to live among everyone else that are out there in the world. Because here we look and we realize that love chapter, number one, charity suffereth long. That's the first thing that happens, amen. Love suffers long. It's patient with people, amen. It refers to being patient with people, not with circumstances. And so love suffers a long, long time. No matter the evil, the injury done by a person, no matter the neglect or ignoring by a loved one, love suffers a long, long time without resentment, anger, or seeking revenge. Love controls itself in order to win the person and to help him to live, work, and serve as he should. Amen. And so I thank God that you'll look in verse 4 that charity suffereth long. Amen. Secondly, from the love chapter, the second step is that love is kind, amen. And so I thank God, love is kind, courteous, good, helpful, useful, giving, showing. It's showering favors. Love does not resent evil. It does not revel in the hurt and neglect. It reaches out in kindness, amen, to each and every one of us. The third step of the love chapter, amen, he talks about there in verse 4, he says, charity envieth not, or vaunteth not. It says, charity envieth not, amen. It does not envy. In other words, it's not jealous. It does not have feelings against others because of what they have, such as gifts, position, friends, recognition, possessions, popularity, abilities. Love does not begrudge or attack or downplay the abilities and success of others. Love shares and joys and rejoices in the experience and the good of others. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize the fourth step in the love chapter that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about is that he says love does not vaunt itself. On the contrary, love seeks to give, to recognize, to honor, to applaud the other person. Amen. It does not brag nor seek recognition, honor, or applause. And so I thank God, each and every one of us. The fifth step in the steps on the love chapter is that it tells us that love is not puffed up. Amen. I thank God. Now, I thank God this is still right there at the end of verse 4 that he's talking about this. He says, love is not puffed up. It's not prideful, arrogant, conceited, does not think nor act as though oneself is better or above others. Amen. Love is modest. It's humble. It recognizes. It honors. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And so I thank God. The sixth step goes into the fifth verse. And I thank God that it says, doeth not behave itself unseemly. This is the sixth step. Love does not behave itself unseemly, unbecomely, rudely, indecently, unmannerly, disgracefully. Love does nothing to shame oneself. Love is orderly and controlled, and it behaves and treats all persons with respect. Praise God. The seventh step of verse 5 is love seeks not her own. It's not selfish, and it does not exist upon its own right. Love is not focused upon who one is, nor upon what one has done. Love seeks to serve, not have others serving oneself. And so I thank God. The eighth step in these 15 steps of the love chapter, I thank God in the fifth verse that it talks about that love is not easily provoked, not easily angered, not ready to take offense, not quick-tempered, not touchy, praise God. And so I thank God. Love controls its emotions and never becomes angry without a cause. Amen. The ninth step of the 15th step of the love chapter that is telling us about how does a believer walk in love. Boy, I tell you, 1 Corinthians 13, as we're still right here in that fifth verse, it says, love does not think evil. It does not consider the wrong suffered. It is not resentful, does not hold the evil done to oneself. Because I thank God, that's the step. As we look at the 10th step of the 15 steps of the love chapter, amen. It tells us in the 6th verse right here that you're looking at with me, amen, that love does not rejoice in iniquity, unrighteousness, evil, wrongdoing, amen. Love does not take pleasure in the unrighteousness and sin of others. It does not feed upon sin and wrong, nor does it pass along the stories of sin and wrong, amen. Man's nature is too often fed the tragedy of evil, whether personal sin or natural disaster, and the daily news reports on television and most subjects of conversation between so many people that all of a sudden it almost like you see something evil on TV and it influences our children in such a way we don't want them watching that stuff. And so I thank God. The 11th step of the 15th steps of the love chapter, amen, is love rejoices in the truth. It rejoices when the truth is known, when it prevails, rejoices when others are recognized and promoted for what they are and for what they have contributed. And so it rejoices when the truth is rooted and grounded in a person and the people of the world that know Jesus Christ. Amen. The 12th step of the 15 steps of the love chapter. Amen. It moves down to verse 7 where it says that love bears all things. The word bears, it means both to cover all things and to bear up under all things. Love does both. It stands up under the weight and onslaught of all things, and it covers up the faults of others, and it has no pleasure in exposing the wrongs and weaknesses of others. Amen. And so I thank God. And here, the 13th step of the 15th steps, we look again at verse 7 and begin to realize that of the love chapter, that love believes all things. Amen. Is completely trusting, always eager to believe the best, amen. And so love sees and understands the circumstances and accepts and forgives and believes the very best about a person, amen, that's out there. The 14th step of the 15 steps of the love chapter is love hopes all things and it never ceases to hope, praise God. I thank God. It expects the good to eventually triumph and to gain the victory, and it refuses to accept failure, and it always hopes for the best and for the ultimate triumph of the good, no matter how fallen or how tragic the fall, of how difficult gaining the victory may seem. Amen? And so each and every one of us. And the 15th step of the love chapter, the very last down here, love endureth all things. The word endures. It's a military word meaning to stand against the attack of an enemy. Love actively fights and endures all attacks. Love is something that's strong, full of fortitude and fight. Boy, when you got a marriage and a family, you got to fight for that family. You got to fight for your children. Amen. I thank God. Love endures all things. It struggles against any and every assault to buckle in to being unloving. Amen. The devil wants you to be like the world and the meanness that's out there in the world. But you are a child of the King. Praise God. And so love conquers and triumphs always because it endures all things. No matter what attacks, love, named or unnamed, it endures the attack and it continues to love you back. The love chapter, the 15 steps of the love chapter, praise the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And so we move on to our third part. Let me back up. John cautions the chosen lady all the way down from verse 7 to 11, here is these warnings of caution, urgency that he's given, amen, to this lady, the elect lady of 2 John, amen, that they're to walk in love, amen. And so I thank God as we look at this and realize that the danger from a deceiver that is out there, a word of caution, because there's many deceivers that are out there, amen, that we're going to be looking at, because here, as we go into the Word of God, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Boy, he cautions the chosen lady. Here, a warning against the deceivers and the false teachers. You know, a deceiver is an imposter, a person who claims to be a follower of Christ, but he's not really. He does not live like Christ taught us to live, and he or she does not believe the truth about Christ. And so he or she lives and teaches something entirely different from what Christ lived and taught. And so the facts of it, there are many deceivers in the world today. There are many in the days of John and the elect lady, and there have been many ever since. And so deceivers are in every area of society, in our factories, our plants, our schools, our universities, our clumps, all the recreational halls, businesses, churches, religious societies. Deceivers are everywhere. Imposters who claim to be Christians, but they do not live for Christ, nor do they live what Christ taught. By their lives and by their beliefs and teachings, they deceive people. Through everyday conversation and sharing and from the teaching positions of the world, they ensnare people into the net of their false beliefs. And it's sad that this takes place, amen, about these. And so this is some of the things that they're dealing with, amen. And so they ensnare them into false belief and doom them to be separated from God forever. Now, how do they do it? By teaching them that they can be good enough, listen, good enough on their own to become acceptable to God, that they can do enough good to be religious enough to make God accept them. Listen, that's a lie straight from the depths of hell. There ain't nobody on your own efforts or ever good enough to be able to have what you have. You were a sinner that God saved you by the marvelous grace, and it was not none of your merits that did anything that made you righteous. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it's a false teaching, for God is perfect and he can accept only perfection. No person, you say, you preacher, now you're perfect? No, I'm not. I won't be perfect till I lay this old fleshly nature down in the grave or my ashes go somewheres in the wind. But I'm going to tell you right now, because this old fleshly nature, but I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God, but I contend with a fleshly nature. So I'm not perfect, but I thank God what God has done for me is perfect. He can accept and give us forgiveness of our sins. No person is perfect. Therefore, all persons are doomed if they're present only their own goodness to God and present that. That'll never get them. Their goodness is not perfection. We have all committed some sins, and we have all fallen short of God's glory, and we all stand guilty before God. Therefore, there has to be a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Amen? And so that's the glorious news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to earth to live a sinless life and to become the perfect and ideal man, amen. And so this is the reason that God had to send his Son into the world. If we deny Jesus Christ, if we do not trust Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, then we are doomed because we still bear our sins. And God cannot allow a single sinner to contaminate and dirty the perfection of heaven. And sin has to be removed before God can ever accept us and allow us to live in his presence. And so that deceiver is that one that they come in the flesh. They're a deceiver. They're denying what God has done. And most tragic of all, they try to lead other people astray, when that is one of the most false teachings that there has ever been out there today. And so I thank God as guard against those deceivers, amen. The devil doesn't come dressed in a red cape and pointy horns. He comes as everything that you've ever wished for. Listen to that again. He comes as everything that you've ever wished for. You need to pray for wisdom and discernment. That's why I call this living for discernment, amen. And so I thank God as this mother had that child or children that was, she was a holy, she was a truthful mother, the elect lady of 2 John, hallelujah. And so it tells us in verse 8, Look to yourselves, not look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Amen. Well, I thank God each and every one of us when we go through life today, how to regard him and ourselves, amen, today as we go through life. Those teachers that are out there, that he challenges us, amen, with these things, that he cautions the lady, the chosen lady, amen. Guard against deceivers, he said in verse 7. But here in verse 8, he says, watch yourself. Don't lose the things already that have wrought in you to receive a full reward. And so look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Now, what's he talking about? He said, be on your guard, and then so that you will not lose what we have worked for, but will receive your reward in full. I thank God. Listen, every one of us, we have a witness that we continually build every day. That ain't what faith came first. You stepped out on faith and received God as your personal Savior, and you received salvation. But I thank God every day we're working and growing closer and more holier like Christ, trying our very best to do that. And so I thank God. He says, watch yourself so that you will receive a full reward. Remember, John is writing to a dear mother and her children right here. Urgent, urgent. False teaching was so rampant that the family unit itself needed to be on guard. And the family needed to consider what teachers they were listening to and sitting under. And lest they lose the reward for the good works they have already wrought. Believers ought to be rewarded for the good works for their labor for Christ. What is that supposed to be? Well, some people, they say, hopefully get a crown. Where you get that crown, you can throw it at the feet of Jesus one of these days. Amen. But there's a danger that that they can lose their reward. What is that danger? Heeding this false teaching. If we heed false teaching, we're going to lose our reward. No matter how much charisma a teacher may have. Boy, there's some folks out there, they can sell you anything because they got this charisma about them. I call it the jab. They got the gibberish. They some folks, I don't care who they are. They got the gift of jab and gibberish is all they got. They got this charisma about them. No matter how much we may like them, no matter how persuasive he or she or whoever they are, we must not listen to them out there. That's the ones, God, they could sell you something you don't even need. Man, if we're led astray, we're going to lose our reward. Well, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to lose your salvation, but boy, you're going to lose some of the great blessings that you could have had if you didn't let somebody false and deceive you from that peace and from that wonderful blessings that you could have. And so he tells us that we're in danger from that deceiver that he told us, amen. But also here, watch yourself to do not lose the things already wrought in you to receive that full reward, because every one of us need to get that same full reward, amen, that God wants us to have, praise God. And so he goes on. The devil's target is all of our homes, amen. He's got us in the bullseye. He's got us in the sights. And he wants to destroy your marriage, your family. But here's the urgency. If you'll just not be careful who that you listen to out there on the television, those false ones that are saying this and that, amen. He tells us in verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Anyone that does not stay with the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whosoever does stay with the teaching has both the Father and the Son. You ever saw some of these preachers that get on there and they got some of the far-fetched things? Now, there's nothing wrong with imagination if they stick to the Word of God. But they some folks that's come up with some of the things that they ain't nobody else heard about it. They ain't nobody else done it, amen. Why, they're the only elite that have done it, amen. You better be careful. Hey, they're trying to sell you something that ain't even in the Word of God. Truth then boils down to doctrine. And in the very early days of the church, the apostolic doctrine went unchallenged in those times. Paul foresaw a day, however, that people would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto the fables. We're in that in America right now. Truth always comes down to doctrine. And I thank God as every one of us look and realize that over all of the things that looking in, you think Martin Luther As he came out of the Catholic Church and he tacked the 95 thesis on the church door, he was ready because somehow or another he had got the truth about what the Word of God. You know, not saying nothing about Catholics, because there's some Catholics that are precious and they are wonderful people and wonderful Christians. Amen. But there was a Catholicism at one time that as they chained the scriptures to the pulpit, while there wasn't a soul that couldn't even read it, and while the priest that would tell their interpretations of those things during those times, and Martin Luther began to come back. Today we've got these cults that are out there today that they have their version of what the gospel means, amen. Even on the internet, you've got to be careful. Even on Facebook and everywhere else, you've got to be careful where you seek the truth at, amen. Because you will get something that you don't want to hear. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're going to be believing a lie. Something that's not even the doctrine. And John warns against this, amen. And so he says, if a person does not stray in the teachings of Christ, then he does not have, he says, if he does not stay in the teachings of Christ, then he does not have God. And that's basically what he was telling us, amen. And he goes on and he tells us here in verse 9 about the teachings of Christ, amen, and how that we're to portray ourselves, amen. Because here, as we go on a little bit further, he says, does not go too far. Stay in the doctrine of Christ and prove your salvation, amen. But it is abiding in Christ, amen. Also, as we move on to verse 10, here he tells us that there's danger at the door, because he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him good speed. Now, refuse the apostate hospitality when he comes, is what he's telling us. Here he's telling us it's at the door before the visitor ever comes in. Amen. Do not receive that deceiver. Do not compromise. No hospitality. Amen. And let me back up one quick that he tells us. And he says, the place to settle the matters was at the door before ever the visitor was able to get into the house. Settle it right there. Don't invite somebody to come into your home that don't have the truth of the gospel doctrine. So John, as he looks at this of that apostate, don't invite him in for hospitality, amen. It ought not take long to find out if a person is sound as the doctrine of Christ. Because what? We've got Christ's deity, his virgin birth, his immaculate conception, his miracles and teaching, his astounding death, his resurrection, his ascension, his enthronement, his coming again. Boy, I'm going to tell you, when you begin to look at the doctrine, you're going to know that they're telling the truth. Or if they're an apostate, if they're a false teacher, you will know very quickly. Because there's folks out there, and I'm not going to even say their names tonight, but you refuse that apostate even a handshake when he does. Because that's exactly what the scripture says tonight. That was sound advice that the gentle and courageous elect lady thought of it. That here, that John had this great advice. Refuse the apostate your handshake. And when he does, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. A person who comes into one's house professing to be a legitimate evangelist, who would in reality be a cultist and an enemy of the faith, is a scoundrel. And such forfeits the right even to the common courtesy of a greeting or a farewell, is what John is saying out of this scripture, amen. Don't give them the time of day. And so he goes on, he says, for he that abideth him God's speed is partaker of his evil deeds. It's pretty self-explanatory. And so as we look, don't be one that would receive that deceiver or false teacher, nor wish them well in any way. Don't even try to make it out to be something. Tell it like it is, amen. And so I thank God as we go out there today and begin to realize that there's so much false things that are out in the world out there today. As we get ready, do not receive a deceiver. Do not compromise. Guard your testimony. That's what you've got to do. You've got to guard your witness. You've got to guard your testimony because I thank God that you can continue to go forward in the full blessings that God wants you to experience. Amen. And lastly, John comforts that chosen lady in verses 12 and 13. Amen. Because as we look at this and begin to realize that what John expected in the future and what John extended to his friend, this lady, amen, as she had a sister, as he comforts this chosen lady, He says, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that I joy may be full. Now, I'm going to tell you, John was already old. And he's saying, I wish I could be able to come there and see you face to face. But that may have never happened because he was pretty old at this time. But he's telling us to watch yourself. Don't lose the things already wrought in you and receive that full blessing, amen, that you need to receive. And so each and every one of us, as we look and realize that what the Lord wants to do in our lives today is that he wants to give us the very best, amen. He wants us to come before him and be able to try the spirits to make sure that they belong to the Lord, that they're his, amen. And so each and every one of us, as we get ready to go out in just a few minutes, amen, as I'm about to wrap up, we see the final words of the greeting from the children of the sister. Because a conclusion of the exhortation that is needed, we begin to realize, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard in Acts 4:20. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. The very last thing. Boy, I thank God. Here, this is significant. It shows how the gospel had spread throughout the whole family. First, one sister was reached for Christ. Then the other sister, then the children of both families. I believe that's how God wants it to be. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, our duty is to do all that we can to reach our families for Christ. All of our brothers and sisters and their families. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard, the Bible says. Boy, I thank God. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee, as the Bible tells us. Boy, I thank God as we get ready to close out tonight. Every one of us, this lady that was a literal lady that was that had her family, I thank God, had parents that taught her, and they turned around and she had what it took to be the truth of the gospel, the doctrine, amen, of the Word of God that had been instilled in her, amen. Here, much exhortation that is needed for each and every one of us. Be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, amen. Here is the elect lady of 2 John. I hope and pray that you got something out of the Bible study tonight, and it's been good to be able to come into the Word of God and bring it to you tonight. As my last thing I say, I hope and pray every one of People's Valley, amen. All of you have a great Thanksgiving that you can give thanks to the Lord. He deserves every bit of it, amen. Remember that you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for giving us what we need to say about the Word of God. It's an urgency. It's an urgency, John said. Urgently, you need to pay attention and you need to make sure that you're not being falsely given, but the truth of the gospel and its doctrine of your teaching. Amen. Father, I thank you for the many wonderful men and women of God out there that teach the truth, that preach the gospel in its full power. We're thankful for all of those at People's Valley that preach the truth and teach the truth. And Lord, I'm so thankful for an opportunity to be a part of a body of Christ that love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for giving us this opportunity tonight, and bless the many families across Bartow County and all of our families in America tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.